Good evening, Facebook. If you're watching this live, it is evening. If you are not watching this live, good whatever time of day it is that you have joined us. This is time for our weekly Live at 5 sermon series, which we do here on Facebook every Sunday night at 5 during this pandemic. Pardon me, give me just a minute. If you grab your Bible, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. You are looking at the tech crew, the audio crew, and the social media crew, so it's my job to share this. So if you'll give me just a second, I'm going to share this to the page for the Wood Church of Christ. That is where I am, the pulpit minister, honored to be that. And let's see, live at 5. Look, my tablet knows what I want to say, because we do this every week or every Sunday night at 5. So that is shared there. If you would do me a favor, if you would also share this video, because we're going to be talking about information that is needed for so many people. So it is there. I have audio. If you'll note in the video, my notes for this and the presentation for it, there's a link above me on my website, the Bible Resources page. I would love to put a copy of these notes to you at no charge, just maybe help you follow along or if you want to go back. I'd also encourage you to take notes. Grab your copy of God's Word because we're going to be studying it together. Before we do that, I do have two quick announcements and we will get into our lesson and it will officially be 5 o'clock in the Central Standard Time by that time. We mentioned this morning in our worship for the Wood Church of Christ, we would have an announcement tonight about what we're going to do next week for the 3rd. It's the first Sunday in May. We're going to continue to have worship online like we have today, and we're going to take this one week at a time. I would hate for everything to go back to quote-unquote normal and then everything get worse. So we're just going to kind of play it week at a time. Trust me, I am longing, probably nobody longing to be back as normal, especially worship related, than me. But I also don't want to do things and make the problem worse. So just bear with us. That's the plan. Please pass that along. There'll also be a post on the church's Facebook page. Should be tonight. I didn't have time to make that and get ready for our lesson here this evening. So there is that. And my other announcement, and I do hope that you are praying. Maybe you're praying more during this time. I've made up a little list of people we might ought to pray for. Aside from the sick, we know we've mentioned some this morning, and there are others floating around on Facebook, and I don't want to try to start mentioning because I'll forget that. But in general, pray for those that are sick, that they'll be restored to their much-wanted places, that their better health. Pray for those who are shut in. Being shut in, I've been told, is difficult, especially in a time like this when you really can't have family come seeing you, depending on where they're at. Those in the nursing centers, assisted living facilities as well. Pray for those of us that are essential workers that are still out there on the front lines, whatever field that may be in. Doctors, the nurses, the hospital staff, the medical staff, if you will. Those at the grocery store employees, you may not think about them, but they're out there trying to keep us where we can get our groceries. Those at the restaurants, the cooks, and those that are maybe bringing the food to your car, the delivery drivers. And also those that are making decisions, starting up at the state level, the nation level, the county level, the country level. And also those who are making decisions for the Lord's church, because this is not an easy time. And so I know that everybody on that list would appreciate your prayers. You ready? Let's begin our Live at 5 sermon series. We're going to be talking about a wise heart, and our scripture text is taken from Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23. Colossians 3:23, when Paul writes to those in Colossae, he says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." When we're talking about a wise heart, when we talk about the heart in general, we need to realize that biblically there are two kinds of hearts. First off, there is the physical organ, which is ever so slightly on the left side of your body, that pumps blood throughout your body. It never stops. And we're familiar with that heart. Hopefully you haven't had too many issues with that heart, but we know we all have a heart. But when we talk about the heart biblically, we need to remember that we're actually talking about our minds. Not this organ, but we're actually talking about our minds. Now, in our lesson text of Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily." Well, if you define heartily in a dictionary, I don't know if you can tell, I like to define things. Heartily defined says in a hearty manner. Also means very, to a great degree. So whatever you do, do it to a great degree to the Lord. Your grammar lesson for the evening, heartily, ends in L-Y, means it's an adverb. And we see one of the ways that we can put the heart in heartily is to study a wise heart. Now, I have this introduction for a reason, because I was given this topic. I was asked last year if I wanted to speak at the summer series on Wednesday nights for the Morrison Church of Christ. I love the Morrison Church of Christ. Many great people there. Family's gone there for years. In fact, Miss Sarah and I got married at that building. And I said, of course, I would be honored to speak. And so I picked the date and I picked the topic, a wise heart. So that's what we're doing tonight. And I'll go ahead and tell you now, I was basically given my main points. And I was also given three scriptures to study. So that's where I want us to go tonight. And I like this study so much, I've adapted it and I keep using it, because we all, especially in times like this, need to be wise. So let us study what the Bible has to say about a wise heart. So first and foremost, we need to define what a wise heart is. Now, I know we've already done that with the dictionary, but we need to do that with the Bible. Let's go back to one of the first of the three passages that I was given to discuss in Exodus 28 and verse number 3. Exodus 28 and verse number 3. We're going to read verse 3 and then we'll back up and read it in context, because if you take things out of context in the Bible, you're going to do yourself more harm than you are good. Trust me, that's coming from somebody who's seen that happen too many times. Verse 3 of Exodus 28. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. They may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Well, our context here in Exodus 28 is they're making the garments that the priest would wear. We know that the priest under the Old Testament, the book Leviticus, does a great job, of discussing this. But suffice it to say for now, the priest had a daunting job in the Old Testament system. In fact, he was the one that would, according to Leviticus 16, first he would offer sacrifices for himself, then his family, and then on the Day of Atonement he would offer sacrifices for the people that came to him and brought him certain things. So go back and read it in context with me, if you will, Exodus 28 in verse 1. The Bible says, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother. He's talking to Moses. So Aaron his brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Those are Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto them that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, broidered coat, a myrtle, a girdle, a mitre, and a girdle. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. Notice, as God is with building the tabernacle, which we will study on our next verse, or our next assigned verse, if you will, God is very specific, and God says, here's what you're going to make for him, and this is going to be his uniform, if you will. And I want you to just look at the verse 4, you're going to make stuff to cover him all over. And then verse 5, you're going to make things that are gold. Well, we know gold is very expensive. Blue is often royal. Purple is expensive. In fact, purple comes from these little shellfish. They're only found in one part of the world. And we see around near, Lydia was a seller of purple in the New Testament. We see, I've been told, to take up to 1,000 of those to get a good amount of purple dye. In fact, purple was always expensive until we have a Queen Victoria there on the throne in England. And then that's when they developed a synthetic purple dye. Here's your miniature history lesson that's not related to this. But we had a synthetic purple dye and nobody saw it fit, because why buy imitation when you can buy the original? Until Queen Victoria wore a dress that was dyed with the purple synthetic dye, and thanks to her, we now have purple as a readily available color. So there's your fun fact for the day. But also scarlet, fine linen. God is being very specific with what he wants his priests to wear when they go before him, bearing different sins, bearing different sacrifices unto the Lord. Now let's look up this word wise-hearted, because that's what it says there in the King James and in verse 3 of Exodus 28? Well, if you look it up in Hebrew, it's kakon. I know it looks like C-H-A, but it's pronounced kakon, and then that's one of the ways it can be written there. But if you look that up in a Hebrew, Greek, English dictionary, it means wise, cunning, intelligent, skillful, artful. Now notice, he says, unto the wise-hearted. Translate that with artful or skillful. Unto the skillful, unto the artful, I want you to make these garments and I want you to use these certain things. He's talking to the people who have this ability. Now, this word kakon appears 142 times in Scripture. We're not going to go through all of them, but it appears 142 times in Scripture. On this same verse, I want us to think about this spirit of wisdom. Because in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, he says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of what? A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Well, what is he talking about? These would have been people that would have had a sound mind. Now, spirit of power, Philippians 4:13, often taken out of context, but power comes from God. We see John 3:16, the epitome, the golden text of the Bible, if you will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 15 and verse 13, if you love me, keep my commandments. In the spirit of a sound mind, I want you to note John 8:32, Jesus Christ, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if you look at what John says, I'm going to paraphrase John 20:31 for you so we don't lose our place in Exodus. But John says that I have not written everything, verse 30, about the life of Jesus, verse 31, but these things I have written that you might believe, and that believing you might have everlasting life through the name of Jesus Christ. So what do we see here? He's writing to people that are wise. He's writing to people that have a spirit of wisdom. You want to find a winning combination. Oh, by the way, sound mind means we can know. A complete picture. You have a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. In Exodus 28:3, he is writing to people that are skillful, that are wise, and says, I want you to make these certain things for me in this certain way. But as we continue to look at verses, let's go to Exodus 35 and verse 35. Stay with me there in Exodus. Flip over, if you will. Exodus 35 and 35. Now we're at the building of the tabernacle and different offerings made for the tabernacle. Then he hath filled them, with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and the cunning workman and the embroiderer in purple and blue and scarlet and fine linen of the weaver and even of them that do any work of them that devise cunning work. Notice he says, to those he had filled with wisdom of heart. Now, here's something interesting in the Hebrew. This is a different word. It's kokmal. I'm not going to say that too many times, but kokmal, that's how you pronounce that. That's a different word, and that means wisdom in a good sense. You know, there are a lot of people who are wise in bad sense. They're wise in things of the world, but friends, we don't need to be that way. We need to be wise in a good sense. We see that this one appears 148 times in Scripture. So you take 148 and you add 142, what is that, 290 different times, two different words for wisdom appear in Scripture? Friends, God's talking, and he says to those who are wise, I want you to build these certain things to me, and Aaron's going to be overseeing this, and Moses is going to be overseeing this, but God says, I want those that are wise, those that know what they're doing, to make certain things because you're going to build my earthly house, if we could look at the tabernacle in that sense. Friends, he talks about wisdom of heart there in Ephesians 4:11. He talks about how some, well, let's just go over there. Don't let me paraphrase it. Don't take my word for it. Actually, run the references yourself. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Look what Paul says, because Paul says that basically we're not all the same, thankfully. Ephesians 4 in verse 11. And some he gave apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. We see that God knows that not everybody has the same ability, so those that are good at speaking are usually the ones that are doing the speaking roles, and those that are good at ministering are doing the ministering roles. And you may say, well, what if I don't have a job? Well, I bet you may be good and inviting someone to worship, or sharing a video on Facebook, as the case may be these days, or writing a card, sending a letter, giving somebody a call, baking somebody a pie. There are many different ways that we can use our wisdom, to help other people. But I was assigned three verses, and I just threw this one down here at the bottom so I wouldn't make it a whole passage, but or a whole other slide. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. Proverbs 2, and as we're turning there, I'm going to give you a glimpse into the life of Justin Reed, because I know you are wanting one. What I do every morning, the first thing I read, is I read a proverb every morning. And this is not an idea original to me. I borrowed it from a person who said they borrowed it from somebody else. But today was the 26th, or is the 26th, so I read Proverbs 26. Tomorrow I'll read Proverbs 27. Now on months like April, where there's not 31 days, the last day you go ahead and read and finish out the book. And then May 1st, I will start over at Proverbs 1. I encourage you to do that. And I'll tell you why. I've read through it many times now doing this plan. That's the first thing I do. It takes, you know, maybe 5 minutes a chapter, if that. But I start seeing themes, and I start seeing patterns, and I start seeing things develop, and similar themes occur throughout the book. So I encourage you. That's just for you as we're turning there. Here in Proverbs 2, got to remember, Proverbs written by the wisest man ever to live, Solomon. We're going to learn more about him at another point. But we see that this is wisdom, nuggets of wisdom, if you will, from Solomon to his son. To his son. What had one son, the Bible tells us there, Rehoboam. Proverbs 2, and starting in verse 10, when wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Why are we talking about this? This is, like I said, nuggets of wisdom from a father to a son. Not just any father, the wisest man ever walked on the earth to his only son. And he says, when wisdom enters into your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So Proverbs 2 and verse 10, and in context, that is the third passage I was assigned. Now here's what I find interesting. This is the same word for wisdom that we have up there, a kokhmah, there in Exodus 35 and 35. But here's what I find interesting. It's translated just wisdom 49 times alone. Other times it may be a wise heart or something with wisdom. But 49 times alone, it is just wisdom. So what do we learn? We need to take our abilities and our mind and use them for serving the Lord. Because that's what we've seen in all three of these passages. So that's the first topic I was assigned, was a wise heart defined. But secondly, they said, if you don't mind, talk about the relationship there between a heart and a mind. And so in my mind, when I got this, I immediately drew a line up and down or sideways, but I'm an up and down line kind of guy. And on one side I put positive, one side I put negative, because I like to look at lists. So, working together is your positive list. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 7. You're probably already there with me in Proverbs 2. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, Solomon says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, up here, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So, if you think good, you'll be good, right? That's what he's saying. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Go over there with me now, if you would. Galatians chapter 6, there at the end of the book. I love what Paul says. He says, be not deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So Paul says, if you sow good things, you'll get good things. But I also want us to mention, as we start talking about negatively, grow not weary and well-doing. That's something that I have to remind myself now as we're trying to be our best to be faithful to the Lord. Let's look at working negatively. Well, that's found one passage in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Because Paul says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." You see, you could have your heart and mind, and you could be thinking, "Well, I'm doing so much better than I am." Well, you may be falling back and not even realizing it. And then once again, Galatians 6, 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. You sow to life, you'll get life." Here's the kicker, though. Because really, if you look at all these verses, and there's three verses spread across four bullet points, they could really all go under the same one, couldn't they? "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I put that under positive, but if you put it under negative, if you think wicked things, you're going to do wicked things, right? If you sow bad, you're going to get bad. If you sow good, you're going to get good. "Take heed lest you fall." Make sure if you're doing good, you're not trying to think you're doing far better than you are, but be a realist. So really, they could go either way. But that's just to get you to think. Now, if you know me, you know my background in radio. I'm a big country music fan. So any chance I get to maybe make a passing reference or two, I do that. Well, as soon as I saw where they said, "Hey, talk about heart and mind," my brain says the song "Heart Over Mind," written by old Mel Tillis. And Mel had a version out. Ray Price had a massive hit on it. But I want to read to you the lyrics to the song "Heart Over Mind." You may be familiar with this. Came out in the 50s. "I love you so much that I can't leave you, even though my mind tells me I should. But then you make me think that you still love me, and all my thoughts of leaving do no good. You've got me heart over mind, worried all the time, knowing you will always be the same. You'll keep hurting me, I know, but I just can't let you go, because my heart won't let my love for you change." Verse 2 says, "Friends tell me they see you out with others, and in my heart I try hard to forget. But then you come home and tell me that you still love me, and I still hope there's some chance for us yet, because you've got me heart over mind, worried all the time, knowing you will always be the same. You'll keep hurting me, I know, but I just can't let you go, because my heart won't let my love for you change." We see what's happening in the song is the man realizes that he needs to leave the person because they're no good for them. His mind says one thing, but his heart, he's too tied up in his emotions, and so his emotions are outweighing the wisdom in his heart, in his mind. And the heart says, "No, stay," and his mind says, "Go." So he is that eternal conflict. He says, "I just know, but then you come home and tell me you still love me," and my heart kicks over and the mind leaves. And friends, I'm afraid too many people in the world are like that. They have good intentions, but their heart, their emotions outweigh their good intentions. Another example, thinking about Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9, I drive a car. It's sitting up there in the parking lot or in the driveway. And let's say as I pulled home the last time, not only was I on E, but I had cut the air conditioner off and I had the windows rolled down. I had the radio turned off and I was coasting down the hill. And boy, it was just as if it was all I could do to get up that little hump at the end of the driveway right before I parked my car. You've been there, I hope not, but I feel like we've all been there at least once, and then we learn never to go back there again. Well, let's say I go upstairs and grab a gallon jug. We just finished a gallon of milk. So what if I take that milk jug and I fill it with water? And I go and pour it in the gasoline tank in my car. What have I done? Well, I've messed up my car, have I not? Why? I'm putting the wrong thing in to get the result I want. If I want to leave again, I'm going to have to procure some gasoline somehow. I'm either going to have to take my wife's car, or I'm going to have to do something and take and go get gas and put it in my car. Friends, too many people today in the world, people I know and people you may know as well, they're wanting to get good results. They're wanting to put the gas in the car, but they're putting water in instead. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life." The choice, it's yours. You put the right things in, you'll get the right things out. Our final point this evening in our Live at 5 series, we've talked about what is a wise heart. We've talked about the relationship between heart and mind. Well, how do we develop it? That should be the obvious question. Well, first off, you ask. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open to you. For whoever asks, finds, or asks, receives, seeks, finds, knock, the door is open unto him. Ask. You use that as an acronym. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. We have to work at it, if you will. I want us to talk about Solomon, though. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, as we go to a very heavily dense section of Scripture for history-wise, which I love history, the way you can remember it. There are three kings of Israel. Saul's the first one. He's told in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel also tells the story of David as a boy. 2 Samuel tells the story of David as a king. And 1 Kings tells us the story of Solomon as king. And then the dividing of the temple, or the dividing of the kingdom, brethren. It just kind of goes on down the line. Well, I want us to look at Solomon in 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked thee before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness in heart with thee. Thou hast kept him from his greatness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give understanding, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great people? And this speech pleased the Lord because he had asked these things. Pause here. Solomon says, I'm young. I'm not as experienced maybe as other people who would be in this position. So I want an understanding heart or a wise heart so that I can know. Pick back up there in verse 11. And God said, because thou hast asked this thing, and you've not asked for yourself a long life, you haven't asked for riches, and you haven't asked for the life of thine enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither should thou be any arise like unto thee after, which I have also given thee, which thou cast not ask, and will give you riches, honor. There shall not be among the kings like unto thee all thy days, if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, and made peace offerings, and made a feast unto all his servants. God appears to Solomon. Solomon is now king. And God says, what do you want? And Solomon says, I'd like understanding. I'd like the ability to better discern what is right from what is wrong. And this pleases the Lord. He said, you could have asked for riches, honor. You could have asked for the head of all thine enemies, but you didn't. So I'm going to give you what you asked for. And God says, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to give you this honor as well. Well, friends, we see that this worked out for Solomon. In fact, continue with me there, because we move right on to verse 16. I should have put this on the screen, but here's how you make the application as we get into this. What's the application? Solomon has to put it to practice. And there came two women, verse 16, they were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I delivered a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman delivered also, and we were together in this house. There was no stranger save we two and our children there in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it, or literally she rolled over on it in bed. And there arose at midnight, and she took my son from beside me, while I, thy handmaid, slept, and laid it on her bosom, and laid the dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Can you imagine coming before you with this problem? Solomon has his word cut out for him right away. Then said the king, This one saith, verse 23, This my son lives, and thy son is dead. The other says, No, thy son is dead, and my son is the living. So Solomon recounts. And the king said, Bring me a sword. So they bring him one of his swords. He would have had many being king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give one half to one, and one half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was to the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Now here's how you know. The one whose child was still alive, she still had that emotional connection that a mother who would give anything for the life of her son. And so she says, You have it. Solomon says, I'll just fix the problem. You both of you want a son. We'll take the son's living, cut him in half. Where Solomon knows where this is going to go. And the woman whose son was dead, she didn't care. And so it made no difference if she got a whole son or a half son or whether he was alive or not, because her son is already dead. So the king answered, said, Give her the living, points to her, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard it. And they heard the wisdom of God was with him to do judgment. You know, this same instance still happens today. My mother's an English teacher, and I've heard she's used this same line of reasoning for students who may be fighting over a pencil. And they'll say, Well, it's mine. And they'll say, Well, it's mine. And she said, I'll break it in half. And you can tell, because the one that says break it is the one whose pencil it wasn't. But the one who says, No, give it to them, that's whose pencil it is. See, Solomon asked for wisdom. But here's the thing. Once you get wisdom, you have to apply it. And he had to apply it quite quickly there. As we need to hurry on, I may have spent too much time, but I love the story of Solomon. Friends, we don't need to ask. We don't need to be afraid to ask. But James says, make sure you don't ask for things amiss or ask for things wrong or in the wrong manner. Don't be asking for wisdom so you can just go around class and say, Well, look how wise I am. No, you're missing that one there. Also, you need to imitate good examples. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And here's your good list. Look at Joshua, Jericho. He followed God's commands exactly. Noah did likewise. Abraham followed. Samuel followed. Isaiah followed. Andrew was great at bringing people to Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about there's such great witnesses and talks about some of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, etc. Friends, there are so many great examples of the Old Testament that we should follow. And then lastly, we need to continue to work on it. How do you develop a wise heart? You ask, you apply it, you imitate good examples, and you continue to work. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, Be ye imitators of me as I imitate Christ. He was working on it. And that passage there in 1 John 1 and 7 following, if we walk in the light, he's in light. That's the idea of a continual walking. Friends, a wise heart was required of Aaron, the priest, the high priest, as he was going to serve God. It was required of those who were going to make his garments. It was required of those who were going to make the tabernacle. And it was required of Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He says, you need to have a wise heart in order to better serve God. Now, a wise heart can be achieved if we have the desire to seek it out. If not, well, I don't know why you watch the video if you don't want a wise heart, but I appreciate you doing that nonetheless. Friends, we need to develop a wise heart if we want to be pleasing to God. Now, once I mentioned this at the beginning, but if you want a copy of these notes, two easy ways to do it. Click the link above me. That's the justinreedshow.com/Bible resources. Or you can Google Justin Reed Bible. Usually the first result pops up, if not on the second. Notes are found in the sermon section under the Morrison Summer Series header. If you want these or the PowerPoint, they're both there, and that's available to you at any time. I will also be posting a link here in the video description. If you've missed any of the Live at 5 series, would love to have you catch back up on those. I've archived them all in one easy place for you to find as well. Please share this video. There are so many people that I think would benefit from a wise heart, so I hope it has benefited you. Quickly plug this and we'll skedaddle on out of here. Next live scheduled Bible study that I have coming up here is Wednesday night, 6:30. Hope you can be here. Last week we talked about the fiery furnace. We'll finish that two-week study today, or this week, talking about Daniel and the lion's den. Love that story, but we're going to look at it a little bit more. actually a lot more in detail than you might have had in a vacation Bible school class. Then also Thursday night, 6:30, my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, we're in Matthew 17, just did the Mount of Transfiguration, and we'll keep that study going on Thursday nights as well. Once again, I do appreciate you being a part of this study. Thank you for sharing this video. Thank you for studying along. It means a lot to me to know that you're out there wanting to serve God, wanting to be faithful in Him and everything that you do. And we'll leave you the same way I leave the radio preaching that I get to do every Friday. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. And please continue to pray.